Exodus chapter 2, and I'll also give you a verse in Hebrews. But just following along our storyline here, going through Genesis, now in Exodus. And here are the Israelites, a couple generations, a few generations after being in Egypt. The policy in Egypt changes. Now the leadership, the Pharaoh, is afraid and threatened by the Israelite presence in the nation, and devises a couple policies to get rid of the male children, Israelite male children. And so we talked about that last week, and the kind of the fear of God with the Hebrew midwives. And in this situation, we're just going to read four verses in Exodus chapter 2. And this event is mentioned in Hebrews as the faith of Moses' parents. And I'm going to explain, show you why if you knew it, maybe you didn't know it, but if you knew it, why there seems to be such a discrepancy in how many generations there are in Egypt versus how long they're actually in Egypt. And hopefully we'll answer that, but that's not really, that'd just be sort of a sidebar to all this. But the faith of Moses' parents. And let's read the first four verses of Exodus chapter 2. And then maybe run over to Hebrews and get that verse and then come back. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, daubed it with slime and with pitch, put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." And, I'll just keep reading. "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went, called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" So this is how Moses ends up in the palace. And this is the circumstances of his birth, which we'll get to, his time in the palace and his faith expressed in Egypt in a couple of weeks. But right now we're just dealing with Moses' parents. Let me show you. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll get that one, and we'll come back over here. But let's grab Hebrews 11 and just read the commentary on what you just read. Hebrews 11, verse 23. I think it is. Yeah, verse 23. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Interesting. They saw he's a proper child, and they weren't afraid of the king's commandment. Therefore, they hid Moses. Let me pray real quick, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts here about Moses' parents' faith in the midst of all of this trials and tribulations in Egypt now. But let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time together, for your words. I thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for just the tremendous blessings that are found in your words, and so much light, so much discernment and wisdom in here. And I pray we could mine it out this afternoon. You'd give us what we need and help us. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the faith of Moses' parents. I'm going to tell you how I come about some of these things to think about. And when I read the Bible, I have questions about things, and not that they're trying to accuse God in any way. I want to know details about sometimes when you call something, for instance, when I read in Hebrews about Moses' parents' faith, and I know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, what is it that his parents are responding to that made them do what they did? Them hiding Moses to protect him from the government and from being killed, that may be something a lot of parents would do, and it may not be a faith thing. It may just be, I want to protect my child. When you get to Hebrews, he said that they did this in faith. There was something that they believed about God and about God's promise, and apparently somewhere it had been said that to set up the situation where that when Moses is born, they see these qualifications and these characteristics in this child, and so they do this extraordinary thing of putting him in this ark and letting him float on a river and kind of hide him in the bulrushes and until, you know, 3 months later, and he can't hide him anymore, at which time Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and then he becomes essentially Pharaoh's adopted son. So that all said, or adopted grandson maybe. But that said, I thought about that. What is it that they're responding to? And so I went back, and this is the first point. There were four generations that there was a promise. Look in Genesis 15. There's a promise all the way back here in Genesis 15. And understanding some of this stuff, I know Moses writes. He's the one that writes the first five books of the Bible. He writes them, but apparently some of these promises were known. They were understood. Maybe they were discussed in the family. So here's what's said. Genesis 15, verse 14. It says, "And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge." That says this is the Israelites going into Egypt. "Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." See that fourth generation? You're going to go into Egypt, and in the fourth generation, you're going to come back. There's going to be you come back. And so here we are with Moses, and I showed you that because you can go back to Exodus now. And granted, there's going to be 400 years, and that doesn't sound like, that sounds like a lot of years for just four generations. Remember, when the Israelites leave Egypt, Moses is 120 years old. He's 120 years old. He's 80 years old. And they wander around for 40 years. He dies at 120. But that being said, you go to the book of Chronicles, and I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to list these people. Levi in Egypt has a son named Kohath. Kohath has a son named Amram. Amram has a son named Moses. That's four generations. So when Amram and Jochebed, they're married, they have a child, and they have Moses. And they've had Aaron, they've had Miriam, now they have Moses. And I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe it's just they realized the promise that had gone to Abraham. I don't know, but Hebrews says specifically that they did this thing by faith. So they're responding to something. And they're responding to Genesis 15, what God had told Abraham. And so Moses is the fourth generation that shows up. And in this family here, Stephen would say it this way. He would say, when he preaches and rehearses all of this history, he says, "In the time of the promise drew nigh." It's kind of like we know now something's about to happen. We've been in Egypt for this time. There's been four generations now. And you'll read in other places where there's, you know, like Judah, there may have been like seven or eight generations of people. But Moses is the fourth generation from Levi. He's the fourth generation in Egypt. And he matches the promise given to Abraham in Genesis that you're going to spend four generations and then someone's going to show up who will deliver you and bring you out of Egypt and bring you into the promised land, which currently the Amorites inhabit, and their iniquity's not full yet. They haven't filled the cup of wickedness yet, so to speak. But they will, and when they do, then I will bring the Israelites into the promised land to flush out the Amorites. So first thing is, there's a fourth generation promise here. Levi has Kohath. Kohath has Amram. Amram has Moses. That's 1 Chronicles 23, 6, and then verse 12. And it looks like when Jochebed has Moses, this promise is in mind here. And it's said in Exodus, she saw that he was a goodly child. Hebrews says that they saw he was a proper child. Stephen said it this way. They saw the time of the promise drew nigh. So all of these things, they're responding to the words of God. And so here's Moses' parents. They respond to the words of God. And they protect baby Moses the best way they can. And sure enough, it's gonna work out good. That's the first thing. There's a fourth generation promise. Moses is that fourth generation. And apparently his parents knew that. And they honored that. And they responded to that. The second thing I noticed, not only the fourth generation promise, but there's a failure on Pharaoh's part. When Moses' parents, they refused to accept Egypt's assessment of their children. They refused to accept, if you want to say it this way, they refused to accept the world's assessment of their own children. And rather, they chose to believe what God had said about them and what God had said about the children in this generation. So they refused to accept the demands, the world's demands on their child. And in doing so, you know, Pharaoh's policies and his attempts to eradicate, essentially, at least for the most part, the Hebrew people, it doesn't work. And in a great sense of irony here, Moses ends up living in the palace of the Pharaoh that wants to destroy all of the Israelites. So it's just such a such an ironic thing how it all works out, but incredible. It's just incredible. But Moses is set aside. I don't have a real clear answer on what it is that Moses' parents saw in Moses and why they didn't say hide like Aaron or anybody like that. But apparently this whole, you know, policy of killing the children, it may not have been around when Aaron was a child. It probably wasn't around when Aaron was a child or Miriam was a child, but it showed up with Moses, and all of a sudden there's this policy of killing the children, and Moses has to be hid, and he is hid, and this is a response of his parents in faith. And so that's a couple thoughts there. And then this thing, when we read Hebrews, remember, like I said, faith is a response to God's words. And it looks like Moses' parents had this promise in mind. It may not have been written down at the time, or maybe it was written down, it just maybe not in this form that we have it here, but the words were there, the promise was there that God would remove his people from Egypt and put them in the promised land. And so that's what his parents are responding to. And so his parents protect their children in faith. He's hid 3 months. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 2, Moses hid 3 months of his parents. So what does that mean? Their faith prompted them to do this with Moses. I thought that's interesting. You know, Moses' parents are not given, they're not given step-by-step directions on how to survive this, or how even to how to protect Moses. And it's almost like they just do what they can do, and then God uses that. It's like they just kind of do what they can do, and God uses it. This whole arc and this whole setting him in the bulrushes thing is like a desperate attempt to preserve Moses' life, and it works. And it works because the Lord's in it. The Lord honors faith, and he does. And so I think about that. I'll just sidetrack a little bit here. I think about that with like evangelism, for instance. Joe and I were talking about this the other day. Sometimes I feel like guys like Paul had it so easy. And not in the sense of their lives are easy or anything like that. But once they found out that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment, he is, his in his blood is forgiveness of sins, and his resurrection, he offers eternal life, all of those things. Once Paul finds that out and understands that, and even the other guy, I mean Peter and James and John, but once, I know for sure Paul, once he finds it out, anybody remember the first place he goes to every city? He goes to synagogues. And it's like the whole setup and structure for Israel, it's there. You just show up at the synagogue. The scribe or the priest says, does anyone have any words? And he stands up and says, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me explain to you what these scriptures are about. So there's almost this system that's already set up and in place. And all he has to do is just show up. And then I think, okay, so I read that in Acts, and that works for Israel, but what is the system for a 21st century American? We don't have a history of synagogues and opening scriptures and celebrating feast days like Israel had, or looking for a Messiah. We have a history of a nation, but what does it look like to preach Jesus Christ among heathen people who don't have the history that Israel has? It's like in Israel's culture, the whole thing is laid out. It's just like you just have to, I know I make it sound a lot easier than it is, but you just kind of have to, you show up and you preach Jesus. They're all looking for the Messiah. They've all been talking about the Messiah. So it's sort of the way has been paved. You just have to walk in the way. But in heathen cultures, maybe say China or we're in the United States, what does it look like? What does faith look like? What does evangelism look like? What does preaching Jesus Christ look like to heathen people who don't have a history with God? And we're just Gentiles. And so sometimes I think about it in context of things like this, where Moses' parents don't have real clear, hey, do this with Moses, and then God will protect you. All they have is this promise that goes back to Genesis 15 and says, in the fourth generation, I'm going to get you out of Egypt. Well, that's a pretty general statement. I mean, how is that going to happen? And so they look at Moses, and for some reason, they think there's something to Moses being something special with God. They set him aside by faith. They hide him 3 months. He ends up in the palace. But at the end of the day, you look at Moses' parents, and it's like they're just doing what they think they can do or whatever they think is the best option, and the Lord blesses it because it's by faith. They're just responding to the words of God and the promise of God. So the faith of Moses' parents, it's really faith to protect their child, but it's almost like there's a liberty. You just pick something and do it, and by faith, you know, the Lord will bless this thing. In the other sense, it's you know, there's not a specific direction here, but they are again responding by faith, and the Lord takes care of it. So, you know, I don't know. I think about these things. How does this play out? What's it supposed to look like in other contexts? Another thing about their faith had victory over fear, and it's something that when Paul talks about it in Hebrews, he says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And they weren't afraid of the king's commandment because they trusted what God said about what would happen with their future. Now, granted, somebody real spiritual is going to say, well, if you're hiding your child in an ark, then you are afraid. that's the super spiritual commentary on that. Well, you're hiding, so you are afraid. And that, this is a very valuable lesson here. Faith, a lot of times, faith is not the abolition of fear. It's not that I have faith, therefore I don't have fear. David said, for instance, what time I am afraid, I will trust. I will trust God. And so faith can be the decision of, well, I can either take direction from my fear, or I can take direction from God's promise. I can either take the direction from how I feel about the situation, or I can take direction on what God said about the situation. And so by faith, they're not afraid of the king's commandment. Doesn't mean they don't have sometimes some fear welling up in them. It means they weren't controlled by that fear. They didn't make decisions based on that fear. And so it's the action that it produced. The faith produced this action. The fear didn't produce this action. Fear would have never produced something like this. And so, I don't know, you can think sometimes maybe that if I get victory over fear, I think you get the idea. It just means sometimes that fear doesn't get to tell me what to do now. What who tells me what to do? God, the words of God tell me what to do. So faith that had victory over fear, it was a faith that protected Moses' parents, protected their children, and then it was a faith that saved, which we read here, a saving faith. So because Moses' parents do this, they set him in the bulrushes for 3 months, and I imagine, I hope nobody hears the crying, I hope nobody hears this kid, I hope nobody hears this. And it comes to a point where they can't hide him anymore. They can't keep doing this. And that's when Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And instead of Moses' parents' faith producing death in their children, it produces life now. And life at the hands of someone who thought them death, thought them ill. This is the Pharaoh that wants to kill the Hebrew children. So it's pretty interesting. But it's a faith that saves, according to Exodus 2 and verses 5 through 10, like we just read. Moses' life is saved. And so all of these first few verses in chapter 2, they really describe the faith of Moses' parents and how they respond to something God had said years ago about the nation. And about their family, and about what would happen with them. And so they're responding to that in response to what God said. They do this with Moses, and because they trust God and do what they do with Moses, Moses will become the deliverer. He will be raised up in really the palaces of Pharaoh in the capital. But when he comes to be 40 years old, he's going to walk away from the palace and identify with the nation of Israel, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks. But I always thought it was interesting that Moses' parents, they're noted for their faith. They're noted for their faith. And their faith really produced something. And you think about that with a lot of the very influential people in the Bible. Think about that with Samuel and Hannah. It's really Hannah's desire and Hannah's trust in the Lord that produces a young man like Samuel, and so much of this, the very influential people were molded by the faith of their parents, and it's neat to see all that. So this is the faith of Moses' parents, and over, you know, people, I know some folks want to disparage faith in the Old Testament. There is faith all through the Old Testament. In fact, every person on the list in Hebrews 11 is an Old Testament person. They're all Old Testament. There are no New Testament people in Hebrews 11. They're all Old Testament. And they're all examples of faith. And so this is the faith of Moses' parents. The faith of Moses' parents. So hope there's some good stuff in there. Or you maybe learn something about the generations and why they did what they did. But I hope that's helpful. And we'll wrap this up and be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. And I do pray that it's helpful information. If nothing else, you just learn what your words say. And why you said what you said. And so I pray that it's informative, encouraging, the way that you respond to people's faith, that when people listen to what you said and your promises and act according to those promises, that you are pleased with that, and you'll display your pleasure in some way. And so I pray that we get that message and understand it. And so thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.